Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories. I'm your host, Alan Searcy. I want to thank everyone for checking out the show today. As some of our old listeners will recall, my wife Chelsea and I originally launched the podcast a few years ago. We had to put the show on hiatus after a family emergency and planned on getting back to it, but life got away from us and I poured myself into writing more books and we just never got back to recording. Well, the show's back, but it will be a little different. Chelsea will stop in from time to time, but mostly it's going to be me talking about history and hauntings of select locations around the United States. So that being said, I'm happy to announce that we've just released our latest book, Southern Ghost Stories, West Nashville. I've mentioned it in the past. I've been working on a book about Nashville off and on for a few years. Well, last January, I realized I had too much material. No one wants to read a book with 700 pages, so I broke it up and decided to publish Downtown Nashville last February, and then I released South Nashville last August. Well, as you're reading this, Southern Ghost Stories West Nashville has just dropped. There's a lot of cool, creepy things that happen in West Nashville, from one of the largest train wrecks in American history to the legend of a headless woman that roams around an affluent neighborhood. But my favorite story is about the old First Church of the Advent on Music Row and how it all ties in with the former evangelist slash cult leader, Tony Alamo. If you're not familiar with Tony Alamo, it's quite a remarkable story. Tony Alamo was born Bernie Lazar Hoffman. He was a wannabe singer from St. Louis. After moving to L.A., Bernie wanted to change his name to Tony Alamo because he wanted to shed his Jewish last name and sound like an Italian crooner. Even with the name change, Tony still couldn't sing, and he washed out of Los Angeles. He did try his hand at managing, but he wasn't good at that either. Tony tried to take a lot of money from aspiring artists and up-and-coming musicians there in Hollywood. Now, Tony, he would tell people he was friends with Mick Jagger and had worked with the Stones and the Beatles and other big bands at the time. In reality, he never did, and that caught up with him, especially when he was trying to take a lot of money from these up-and-coming musicians. But there was one thing Tony was good at: hustling and swindling. After meeting another washed-up singer and single mother named Susan, the two fell in love and got married. Tony and Susan started handing out Bibles in Hollywood, and before they knew it, Tony's three-bedroom house was full of converts that the couple turned into prophets. In 1969, Tony and Susan founded the Tony and Susan Alamo Foundation. The Alamos bought property in Los Angeles and built dorms for their followers to live in while they worked on the farm on site. The Alamos provided food, shelter, transportation, and gave them a small allowance. Eventually, the congregation got so big that the Alamos bought 243 acres in Alma, Arkansas, and started opening businesses for their followers to work in. While the congregation did all the work, Tony and Susan lived in a huge mansion. And eventually, the government came calling, and the Alamos were sued by the Department of Labor for $19 million in unpaid wages. While the Alamos were battling the government in court, Susan developed breast cancer. She didn't seek treatment until it was too late, and she died on April 8, 1982. After her death, Tony laid out his wife's rotting corpse in a coffin in a room of his mansion. He ordered his followers to pray for her around the clock, and after 3 days, she was supposed to rise from the dead. Spoiler alert, she didn't. Ultimately, a very angry Tony Alamo let his wife sit out in the home for 6 months so his congregation could pray around her body. Well, 6 months went by, and she didn't raise from the dead. Tony Alamo finally lay her to rest in a mausoleum in the backyard next to his enormous heart-shaped swimming pool. Without Susan to reel him in, Tony took the reins of the ministry, and he started a clothing company. I'm sure some of y'all remember those gaudy, bedazzled jean jackets Mr. T and Dolly Parton wore back in the 1980s. Michael Jackson even wore one of the jackets on the cover of his Bad album. Those were all from Tony Alamo Fashions. Tony Alamo was a horrible human being, and he took children as his brides as he led his congregation. All the while, his brainwashed followers, they just looked the other way. But the United States government and karma, they were coming for Tony Alamo. In all this mess, there is a ghost story. Eventually, the feds raided Tony's Arkansas compound, trying to find assets to seize to pay off his tax debt. While they were rummaging around there in Arkansas, the feds found something that was missing. It was Susan's body. While it's not known for sure what exactly happened to Susan's remains, it was rumored that Tony had her exhumed when he heard the feds were coming. He placed her body in a freezer and moved it to Nashville, where he stored it in the bottom of his church on Music Row. Now, Susan's daughter sued Tony and eventually had it returned. But that doesn't mean that Susan's spirit doesn't linger there in the old church. Today, the church is a recording studio, and some of the employees there claim that they've seen a small, petite, blonde lady walking around in the building late at night. After talking with a former employee of the studio about the woman he had seen, I sent him a picture of Susan Alamo just to see what he thought. Sure enough, he said that the woman looked like the woman he had seen there in the building at night. But it's not just Susan Alamo that haunts the church. I talked with an engineer who swears that he has heard the sounds of children giggling and running through the hallway. Now, in 2020, during the pandemic, there was nobody in the church but him. Still, he heard the kids playing. The Tony Alamo story is nuts, and I gotta admit, I glossed over a lot of it. But you can read all about it in Southern Ghost Stories West Nashville. It's available now at Amazon.com. Now, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Those 5 stars are great. Also, head on over to our Southern Ghost Stories YouTube page. We've been posting a lot of fun, short little clips over there the past few months. I think you'll enjoy them. There's a really cool one about the ghost of Mary Trousdale in Gallatin, Tennessee. Give us a like and subscribe over there as well. So next week, I'll be back with a story about an interaction I had with a ghost in downtown Franklin. It was at the White Building on the square. You got to hear it to believe it. We'll see you next week. Tony and Susan started handing out Bibles in Hollywood, and before they knew it, Tony's 3-bedroom house was full of converts that the couple turned into prophets. In 1969, Tony and Susan founded the Tony and Susan T. Where did Captain Hook get his hook?
I don't know where.
The secondhand store.